When you load up Final Fantasy Online, a huge multiplayer online video game, a warning flashes across the screen before you're allowed to log on to the game servers. It resounds sternly and with authority, but most players skip right past it, eager to get into the game and start gaining levels. Here's what it says. A word to our players. Exploring Vanadil is a thrilling experience. During your time here, you will be able to talk, join, and adventure with many other individuals in an experience that is unique to online games. That being said, we have no desire to see your real life suffer as a consequence. Don't forget your family, your friends, your school, or your work. My friend Leif dropped off the face of the earth last year. This is where he went. There are a lot of games like Final Fantasy Online. They're called MMORPGs, short for Massive Multiplayer Online Role-Playing Games. Having never played one before, I was curious as to what the allure could be. I'm a regular video game player, but these always seemed like a little too much. More like a lifestyle choice than a diversion. Could a game be so great that it needs a warning label on it? How deep in could a person really fall? Considering Leif's total playtime, pretty deep.
Playtime puts me to 80 days, 9 hours, 7 minutes, and 50 seconds. That's since a, roughly the beginning of February 2004, so that's about 80 days and 8, 9 months. That's total compounded playtime. That's just total amount of time you've been online and active.
What does that average out to about?
Well, over the span, you think about 8-9 months, there's about it comes out to little less than a third of the total time that's passed since then. So yeah,
so figure a third is sleep.
Yeah, a third is sleep, so about half, maybe a little less than half of the time I've been awake since February.
Do you ever think about, in 80 days total time, like other things that you might have been able to do?
Yeah, probably, you know, like watch a lot of Nick at Night, or yeah, I don't know, you know, 80 days can pass pretty quickly.
You'd think a game would have to be pretty intense to play it for close to 2,000 hours. Regular role-playing games, the kind that you play alone, not online, they take around 40 or 50 hours to finish, and even that's a pretty big chunk of time. 2,000 hours, on the other hand, that's pretty much unfathomable to me. So what is it? What could possibly keep a person interested for so long? In 80 days of total playtime, what would you say you've spent the most amount of time doing?
Probably gaining experience points, which you need to advance and level. So what you do is you get together with a group of people and you just go kill stuff over and over for sometimes 4 or 5 hours at a time. It's probably the most boring part of the game, but you kind of need it to advance.
If that's the most boring part of the game, but that is also like the largest percentage of the game, like that, like kind of a problem.
Well, in a sense it's boring, but it's challenging, you know, and it's rewarding too. So,
and you would say that the reward is worth the couple of hours of tedium?
Yeah, definitely.
Close your eyes and imagine a video game player. What do you see? Let me guess. Pasty, needs a haircut, maybe some new clothes. He's either really skinny or morbidly obese. But more importantly, he's introverted. Doesn't leave the house much. Not too many friends, not too many nights out. Nerds. Big nerds. But these nerds have needs, don't they? The hippie in them screams out about how man wasn't made to live this way. And maybe that hippie's right. But they can't help it. They have to play. Now imagine yourself as one of these nerds. You want to play a new game, but you've done it all. Saved the world, conquered galaxies, driven a race car 300 miles an hour. But in all these travels, what's the one thing that was missing? It's the one thing that makes that all seem phony in comparison. That's right. You guessed it. Other actual people.
To what extent is this a social kind of game?
It's a very social game because most of the things you do in the game involve being in a group with other real players. So, you need to coordinate with people a lot to get anything done at all. You know, you wouldn't be able to get very far in this game being isolated.
I mean, that brings to mind like the sort of obvious counterpoint of like everyone also just being like very isolated from one another in a more like physical sense.
Yeah, definitely. You know, but well, I mean, yeah, it's a video game, and you're sitting in your house playing by yourself, probably. So it is, yeah, it is isolating, but in the game, you know, there is a great deal of social interaction. Probably more social interaction than, you know, people having a normal day at, say, school or work. Essentially, the game is engineered to encourage people to interact with each other.
For a game purported to be an immersive experience, I have to admit it, Leif seemed pretty detached. He was running the game on only part of the screen. An online chat program blinked with new messages on the other part of it. The reason became clear after a while. A large portion of the game consists of waiting. We walked out of Juneau, one of the biggest towns in the game, and it took a few minutes just to get to the edge of town. After that, we walked through lush forests and fields. You could see other players in the game, walking toward their own destinations. Eventually, we got to a dock on the shore of a deep blue sea. It turned out to be an airship terminal, kind of like an in-game bus stop. Players use these airships to get from one area of the game to another, but, well...
Sometimes you have to wait quite a while, because airships run in about 10-minute intervals, so sometimes you just sit there at the dock for about 10 minutes waiting for it.
You, like, take out a book, or...
Yeah, or go smoke a cigarette, or... Yeah.
On the other side of the lake, after a 5-minute airship commute, Leif stood in a large open field, waiting for monsters to fight. When one came along, which was a big bumblebee, just in case you were wondering, he killed it in about 20 seconds. After that, well...
Now we're low on mana, on MP points, which is points that allow you to cast spells, so we have to... to sit for a minute and regenerate.
That seems so tedious.
Yeah, it's kind of tedious, but yeah, I guess, you know, it's tedious.
Delayed gratification. That's the name of the game. And it seems pretty deliberate on the part of the game developers. You make the players wait long enough, and any reward becomes significant. Now imagine this. You've just spent the last 10 hours killing digital bumblebees in a meadow, then taking their stingers to town and selling them, over and over again, for 10 hours. Now eventually, you save up enough gold pieces to buy that magic tunic you've had your eye on. You have two choices at this point. Buy the tunic, put it on, and revel in your accomplishment, or admit that you just spent the last 10 hours masturbating. I think I know what I would do.
There definitely has to be investment versus reward factor in video games. I guess there's few things that are worth having that you don't work for, you know? And the same applies even in, you know, children's video games.
With that kind of attitude, Final Fantasy Online could teach kids the value of a dollar. It could strengthen this fledgling American work ethic of ours. But, well, there's a problem. See, even though the game is designed to make you work for a long time for small achievements, people found a shortcut. An incredibly baffling shortcut.
There's sites that will sell currency from the game for money. Players won't want to spend the time doing things in the game to earn money, so sometimes they'll just buy it. And I know it used to be around $80 US for 200,000 gil. Now I'd assume it's almost half that within 5 months, probably.
When you think of a game, you think of playing a game and having fun doing it, you know?
Yeah. This kind of foregoes the traditional definition of a game. It's about property and possession. The ultimate goal of this game primarily is elitism. Just to have better stuff than everyone else. And then you can walk around and brag about it.
You got it all here. Vanity, facades, one-upsmanship. Does any of this sound familiar? Think back. Remember when you got your first pair of Nikes? All right, maybe it wasn't Nikes. Maybe it was Doc Martens. A starter jacket, maybe. Anything. The point is this. You put them on in the morning, you strutted around in them all day, and man, you looked awesome. That's right. Final Fantasy is high school all over again.
It's a video game, and, you know, there's a diverse crowd of people who play it. You know, there's 40-year-old, you know, sixth grade math teachers and people who are married, and then there's 15-year-old kids, but we all generally try to act like 15-year-old kids as much as possible, you know? That's kind of when you peak out in life at about 15 years old, and people just kind of want to recapture that, you know?
People talk a lot about lost youth, you know, being carefree. Somewhere along the way, we lost that. There's no shortage of people who want to talk about simpler times, adolescence, all that. They ask you things at parties like, if you could go back to high school knowing what you know now, what would you do different? They're next to you on the train on a hot summer morning commute, saying things like, man, remember summer vacations? We remember that time in our lives, but we accept it as gone. We understand that, well, things are a little different now.
Things aren't as linear. Things aren't as well defined. Things aren't, you know, things are a lot more vague and gray. So that's what's nice about video games. You know what you have to achieve. You know how to achieve it. And then you do it. And you know when you've done it, you know?
In what ways is that nicer than the ambiguity?
You know, in the video game, I can go up to a person and I can be like, hey, you listen to me because I'm higher level than you. You can't really do that in real life, you know, which is kind of a shame.
In the real world, things are capricious. Good day here, some bad ones there. Our relationships are more complicated than just pairing up with someone to go collect dragon's teeth. There's a certain kind of beauty in a social structure that's so rigid that your place in it can be broken down to an equation. You're only as good as your experience points say you are. Your worth is a function of your strength and dexterity. There's no questioning how good you are. You can look at the numbers and find out. If you don't like what you see, guess what? There's a surefire path to self-improvement. Just keep playing.
You know, I suppose cowardice has got a lot to do with it. But
What do you mean?
Just in, you know, playing video games in general, you know, you can, you don't really have to face, you know, concrete failure or anything like that, you know. You can achieve things, but you're not risking a whole lot other than, you know, time and energy.
I'm in kind of an awkward position here. I'm inclined to somehow pass judgment, to spout off a diatribe about social responsibility and the dangers of an ersatz existence. But that would bring up a lot of problems. I mean, for one thing, I play video games too. But even more problematic is this. To condemn Final Fantasy Online, we'd have to condemn books too. Movies, sports. I mean, even your listening to this is a form of escapism, isn't it? Maybe the biggest problem with Final Fantasy Online is that, as far as escapism goes, it's just too good.
You try not to ask too many questions of yourself, you know? Like, sure, sure, you can rationalize that the video game is, you know, pointless, and that, you know, everything you achieve in it eventually is going to be, you know, for nothing. I mean, you can look at it in a way where it's all a waste of time, but, you know, it's just, it's fun to do, I guess, so that's just, I'm going to stick with that answer.